You know, when we really think about it, when we're developing courage, we can be developing hope at the same time. So, back to hope from a standpoint of courage. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you are joining me to tap into the Word of God so that we can see how we can develop further the courage to do the right thing. I want to ask you something. When you've been challenged to take a step that you knew really was the right thing to do, but it was scary, challenging because you just didn't know how things would turn out for you if you did take the right steps, if you did the right thing. Maybe you were thinking, oh man, you know, in my heart, I know what's right. But at the same time, and I know I should be doing what's right, but at the same time, I can see myself getting some benefit if I do the wrong thing. If I do what's wrong instead of what's right, I can see how right now, man, this could really work for me. And so you kind of tossed, you're kind of, well, it's just not as easy a decision for you as you would like for it to be. Do I do the right thing and maybe have little good come out of it for me? Maybe even a lot of harm to come out of it if I do the right thing. Do I do the wrong thing? And at the very least, avoid having any flack from anybody who would be upset with me for having done the right thing. Go ahead and do the wrong thing and maybe even have some kind of payoff for doing the wrong thing. When you, those of you who found yourselves, you know, sometimes deciding I'm going to do the wrong thing, at other times deciding I'm going to do the right thing. Some of you who decide, I mean, this is pretty much the way you do it. Most of the time, you go ahead and do the right thing. How does it impact you when you do the right thing? And when I say how does it impact you, I mean, how do you feel about yourself when you have done the right thing? And think about how you felt about yourself when you did the right thing and you did catch some flack for having done the right thing because someone wanted you to do what was wrong. And you wouldn't do it. They have their political agenda. It doesn't matter whether you're looking at what's happening on the job, what's happening at the places of worship. Someone wanted you to do what all of you knew was wrong, but it would have fit their agenda. You didn't do it. You didn't know whether, you know, what the outcome would be. With this person, with the people who wanted you to do wrong, begin to hate you, despise you, resent you? Would they just let it go? Those of you who wanted someone to do the wrong thing, how did you feel about yourselves? Especially those of you who purport to be lovers of righteousness, lovers of God. Those of you who preach righteousness. And I mean, you teach that and preach that week in and week out. And you wanted someone, you've had opportunities, you've had those situations come up where you wanted someone to do what was wrong because it would have pleased you. It would have pleased someone else who was trying to pressure you into getting the wrong thing, a dark agenda accomplished. Those of you who went on ahead and did the right thing, period. Not only how did you feel about yourself, how did you feel about life in general? I know that some of you, I mean, because all of us are going to find ourselves at some point or another where we're going to have to choose to do what's right or what's wrong. And who has a perfect record other than the Lord Jesus? Of all the persons who've lived on this earth. But when you did the right thing, how did you feel about life in general? Did life seem to be a very, very dark something that just aggravating, frustrating? When you've chosen to do the wrong thing, even if you did not succeed, you were pushing for the wrong thing and pushing and pushing and pushing to have a wrong outcome. One that you knew God would not be pleased with. But it was what you and some others wanted to have done for your political reasons. Did you feel good about yourself? How about when you were able to accomplish the evil that you were trying? You were trying to do, you had your minds made up, you were going to do the wrong thing. And you succeeded in having your dark agenda accomplished. Did you feel good about yourself? It really depends on the individual. Some people really do feel good about themselves when they get something wrong, something that is not morally right, accomplished. Some people feel good about themselves when they do that. Some people feel bad about themselves when they do that. I think that the person who feels bad about themselves is in a better position because they're showing that their conscience is still more tender towards God than the person who gets wrong accomplished and feels good about him or herself. That person is showing that their conscience is removed, is far removed from God. They feel good about having achieved something negative, dark, wrong. Here's the thing. There are any number of reasons that any of us would make a decision to do the wrong thing. But there can also be any number of reasons that we might decide to do the right thing. And I definitely want us to continue to work towards becoming people who will consistently do the right thing. Knowing this, that people on earth are not the only ones keeping a record of our decisions and why we make those decisions, is so important to remember that the one who controls eternity is also keeping a record, a literal record, of the decisions we make and why we make those decisions. And all of it's being recorded. Yes, the great master, the great creator, keeps up with all of our motives for what we do. Not just what we do, not just what we say, but the motives for everything we say, the motives for everything we do. So it doesn't matter how much we may try to pretend that we're really pushing for what's right in any given circumstance. God, who knows everything, God, who knows the heart of people better than we know our own hearts, is keeping careful record of everything. And so it really behooves us to develop into people who will consistently do the right thing. So we were taking a look at some examples of courage, and these are from true events, historical and true. We were in the book of Daniel, and we were talking about Daniel, the prophet of God, who provided so much valuable information about what was going to be taking place in history, what will yet be taking place in the future. History for us, when I say what would be taking place in history, It is historical for you and me. It was not historical for Daniel. It was future for Daniel. All of it was future for Daniel. That which has already been fulfilled, according to what the prophet Daniel foretold, is now historical for us. But there's still some things that, there's still some events that the prophet foretold that have not come to pass. And of course, those are still future. But in the process of being who God called him to be, doing what God had created him to do, Daniel met with some opposition. That doesn't sound at all strange, does it? Count it not strange. Because that is par for the course. That people who truly love God and want to do right by God would meet with tremendous opposition from people who hate God. And believe me when I say, there are people who hate God. And a lot of those people claim to be lovers of Christ Jesus. Opposition, it is par for the course, and it comes from all angles. From people who claim to love God when they really don't, comes from people who don't love God and don't pretend to. Sometimes the opposition comes from people who really do care about God, but allow themselves to go into a very dark place for some period of time, and then find themselves doing the bidding of the forces of darkness for a while. Takes courage to keep going, to keep being who God has called us to be, especially when your life is on the line, as was the case for Daniel. Recall when we talked about this last week, we were mentioning how Daniel was really, really impressing the king. And he was so impressing the king so much that the king decided he was going to make Daniel the second highest ranking person in the kingdom. So you think back, Joseph impressed the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, so much that the Pharaoh made Joseph the second highest ranking person in that Egyptian kingdom. And now, the king of Persia, so impressed with Daniel that he's no longer willing to have Daniel just be one of the five or six top rulers, even three top rulers. He's going to make him numero dos. And many of the others who were also in leadership positions had a problem with that. They didn't want that to happen. So they tried to find a way to get Daniel put down. Not put down as in killed necessarily. Initially, they just wanted to find some kind of way. If they could just have him demoted. But of course, if they could have him killed in their minds and their hearts, that would be even better. And so they decided to come up with this law that the king would ratify, where if anyone a certain time would refuse to worship the king, and instead pray to their own gods, then that person could be thrown into a den of lions. Well, killed, executed. The king didn't think it through very well, but, you know, kind of sounded good to them, to him. Their proposal sounded good to him, so he said, hey, let's do it. The king of the Medes and the Persians, the Media Persians. And they wanted this law, which written by the king, signed, ratified by the king, and the law could not be repealed. So the king, King Darius, put the decree in writing. And just as they knew he would, just as they suspected he would, Daniel continued to pray to his God. Would not pray to any of the false gods. And not only would he not pray to the false gods, he didn't just become silent and stop praying. Because, you know, Daniel could have said, well, you know what? I may not pray to my God, but I'm not going to pray to their gods either. And just don't pray at all. But no, not only did he refuse to pray to the false gods and thereby demons, but he continued to pray to his God and continued to open his window when he did so. He made no change in his spiritual routine. As some people call it, his spiritual discipline. So, of course, his enemies heard it. They went to the king and they let him know, hey, look, king, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? Always wanting to get people to worship someone other than the one true living God. People and demons do that all the time. The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. Listen to how they put that. They want to make sure that they do everything in their power to sour the king's attitude towards Daniel, the very man he was getting ready to promote to the second highest position in the kingdom. He doesn't listen to you. He doesn't pay any attention to you or to your decree that you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. I tell you what, it was unfortunate that King Darius didn't give more thought to what those people were saying before he went on ahead and wrote that decree. But I take my hat off to him for having decided from the very beginning, once he found out that it was Daniel, this man had enough conscience that he recognized that Daniel was such a good man that Daniel did not deserve this. He did not deserve to die just because he would not pray to the king for the next 30 days. Forgo praying to his God in order to pray only to the king for the next 30 days. King Darius knew this was wrong. This was not exciting to him at all. And Daniel wrote in his book that the king tried until sundown to save him. Now you think about it. There are a lot of people in leadership positions who talk about their bravado, how brave they are, how courageous they are, etc. And in some cases, they do have some courage. But in so many other cases, they won't stand up for what's right. They don't want to disappoint someone who they think is for them, someone who they think is in their camp, someone who's just cleverly using them. Not everybody in leadership position has the courage to always do the right thing. There are some people in leadership positions, high leadership positions, who will start a chain reaction of wrong. They'll start out with a wrong agenda and they'll just keep pushing wrong, 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 not wanting to disappoint, afraid to disappoint somebody who has been coming to them under false pretenses. King Darius wasn't like that. In this case, King Darius was saying, now this is wrong. I've got to do something. How did it turn out?